Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the What's Your Bottom Line radio show with speaker, writer, and motivator, Angie Strader. Join Angie and expert guests from around the world for these weekly straightforward discussions about what it takes to be successful in your personal and professional life. We all have a bottom line. What's yours? Well, let's get down to it right now. Here's your host, Angie Strader.
Welcome, everyone. This is Angie Strader, your host of What's Your Bottom Line on Diva Toolbox Radio, and I'm so happy to have you listening into the show today, and I'm excited because I have a special friend, someone who I've really gotten to know through social media and then in person, and Lisa Duty is joining us today. I'm going to introduce her in just a little bit, but I know you're really going to take value from today's call, and this is one of those days that you're going to get inspired and take a ton of information with you. So before we get started, remember we are a live show, and with that, we will be taking your questions during the show. So if you want to ask a question and you're on your computer right now, you can send a chat message with the word question, and at the beginning of the chat, and then go ahead and ask your question after that. So you just type in the word question, and then the question after that. That way I don't miss it in the queue of the chats going on. And if you want to call in and you want to talk with Lisa live on the air, you can dial 347-838-9706. Again, that's 347-838-9706. If you want to ask a question, all you need to do is press 1 on your keypad. That lets me know that you're in the queue, you want to come live on the air. Now, if you just want to listen in on the phone, like if you're out and about and you have your headset on, and or you're even working around the house or the office, go ahead and dial into that number, 347-838-9706. You will be on mute. We won't even know you're there. I won't call on you unless you have a question and you can press 1. But other than that, just hang out and listen. But there's something you're going to want to do for this show specifically. You want to get your pen and paper ready because you're going to want to take notes, because this is going to be a powerful discussion, and I know there's going to be some serious takeaways from today's show. So, again, I'm Angie Strader, your host of What's Your Bottom Line, and I get to tap into Lisa's Bottom Line Philosophy to Success, and she's going to share with us her compelling message today, which is, are you tired of hearing about personal branding, providing value and content, but no one is telling you how to get started or achieve it? Isn't that so typical right now? I mean, we hear we need branding, we need to add value, we need to write content, but how do we do it? Where do we start? And Lisa is going to share with us, as our social media strategist, how to make that happen. So we're going to bring Lisa on in just a second, but as I've been telling you, we are going to have a weekly guest expert on the show every week, and this week's guest, you may have remembered her from a previous, she was on the show previously a couple of weeks ago, and that's Beverly Flaxington. She's an author, speaker, trainer, consultant, hypnotist, and behavior expert, and she is our resident confident coach. So we're going to bring Beverly on here in just a second, and she's going to share with us her weekly tip as our confidence coach, and then we're going to bring Lisa on after that, and we get to dig a little bit deeper with Lisa. So let's go ahead and bring Beverly on. Hello, Beverly. How are you today?
Good, Angie. How are you doing?
Oh, fabulously. It's a fabulous Tuesday. And how are you doing over in your world? Now, where are you calling in from today?
I actually am I'm in Massachusetts, my home state, but I'm in a town called Lynn, which is about an hour away from where I live. So it's the beautiful North Shore. So it's hot, and I have a client up here who's on the water, but I haven't seen much of the water today.
That's the way it kind of happens when you're at work. People think it sounds so glamorous, and you're going to these fabulous places, but you really see between point A and B and not much in between. Is that right?
Isn't that the truth? Oh, so yes, I'm watching all the rest of the people enjoy the water, but I'm not doing it myself.
Well,
and you would be very interested. I was actually thinking of you, Angie, with your expertise in television and everything now, because we were filming a little video clip, speaking of social media, for these folks to have on their website. So
fabulous.
You were in my thoughts.
Oh, well, good. I like to be in people's thoughts, good thoughts. So that's a good thing. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and agreeing to be my resident expert as a confident coach. And what special message can you share with us today, Beverly?
Well, I was thinking today, Angie, that maybe one thing to share in my 10 minutes here is to talk about the process that I've seen work well for people who are trying to set and meet goals. You know, you talked a bit about my background, and as a hypnotist and as a consultant and as a coach and even as a college professor, the thing that I always am working with people to do is they say, I want to get somewhere. I want to be able to accomplish something. I want to be able to meet a goal. But time after time after time, I just don't seem to be able to get what I want to get. And what am I doing wrong? And, of course, for many of us, we're not doing anything wrong. We just haven't learned how to be effective at that process, at that goal setting and goal achievement process. So I just thought it might be helpful to touch on a process that I use with people and with organizations, and something that your listeners could experiment a little bit after this conversation. Maybe they could even apply it to the social media information that they'll learn today. But it's a process that I call SHIFT. S period, H period, I period, S period, T period. And in the short amount of time, I thought I'd just touch on each of them, maybe give people a little bit of guidance and have people practice with it and see if they don't get a little bit more confident this week trying to get to their goals. Does that make sense, Angie?
Absolutely, and I am on board. I've written my SHIFT down, and I'm ready to go.
So first step is S, which is to specify the desired outcome. So many of us set a goal. We say, oh, an example, I want to lose weight. I want to make more money. I want to be a better mom. Whatever it may be, we set a goal. Specify the desired outcome says, what does success look like when you get to that goal? Write it down, not just the goal, but specifically what's that desired outcome. So instead of I want to lose weight, I have a pair of white size 6 pants that I want to be able to get into by next summer. Specific goal, very defined. So at S, you're getting very clear, very defined. I know success, what it looks like when I get there. H, highlight the obstacles and categorize them. What happens to many of us is that we've got stuck many times before. We know the things that we run into that are our obstacles. So let's say lose weight. Well, one of my obstacles, most of my social time is going out with my friends to eat. Another obstacle, I tend to keep all kinds of sugary food in my house for my kids. That's their treat. Another obstacle, I'm somebody who eats while I'm watching television or I'm on the phone. What are the different obstacles that prevent me from getting to that goal? Listing all of them so that I can get them all out. Somehow I know in the back of my mind, but I haven't really taken the time to bring them forward. And then categorize. Obstacles fall into three general categories. There's ones we can't control. If I am, for example, pregnant and I'm putting on weight, I can't control that. That's happening to me. It's not an obstacle I can do anything about right now. Then there's those that I can't control, but I can influence. So maybe I can tell my friends, let's go for a walk instead of out to dinner. Maybe they'll say yes, maybe they'll say no. It's an obstacle, I can influence it. The last are those things fully within my control. Now for most of us, when we think about obstacles in our life, we think about most things being out of our control. The power and the confidence that comes from going through this process is how many things we find actually are within our control and that we can work with.
Mm.
I, in the process, identify the human factor. So this is something, Angie, you with all of the work that you do, will be able to relate to so much, but oftentimes we overlook the human element. There may be a benefit that I get from not accomplishing my goal. Maybe there's a fear factor. Maybe there's something else that's more of a priority for me. Maybe deep down it's my mom who's always been telling me to lose weight, and so I'm in a resistance mode. Really being honest about what are those human factors, those emotional feelings, elements related to where we're trying to get to that maybe we haven't brought to the surface, we haven't acknowledged. Now, I'm not saying to go see a psychologist and spend a lot of time on this, but we often know what some of them are. We just don't bring them to the surface when we're doing our planning process. The other thing, human factor, is who are the other people that are involved in whatever it is I'm trying to accomplish? Stakeholders, we call them sometimes. So let's say one of my goals was I want to move somewhere. Stakeholders might be my family. Stakeholders might be my boss. Stakeholder. What is all of the human impact that's involved in me trying to get to my goal, my desired outcome, so that I can know them, so that I can know where are they holding me back or where is there something I have to work with. So once I state my desired outcome, I highlight my obstacles and I've been clear about what I can control and what's out of my reach, and I understand the human impact both for me personally as well as people around me. Then I can start to move into F, which is find the alternatives. Because the alternatives have to take into account what the obstacles are, what the human impact is, and where is it I'm trying to get to. What I love about this process, if you go through it step by step, is people usually, if they've done the first three steps, they get to F and they have that aha experience where they start to get really creative about, okay, what are some of the things that I can do to get to this goal? Right? Like, what are my different options here? So brainstorm all of the different options, and then you're going to look a couple of things and find alternatives. What are the pros and cons about each of those options in terms of how you get to the goal? So starting to really think creatively about what I can do. Other aspect is my decision-making criteria. So let's say when I look at it, hey, if going out to dinner with my friends is one of the things I absolutely have to do to get to lose weight, is that something I want to do? Okay, is this, right? Is this something that's just going to stop me from getting to my goal? So I'm really starting to look at all of the aspects that oftentimes we don't even know are there that are preventing us. So all of a sudden now I start to see, you know what? This is really the alternative. So for me, if, you know, desired outcome was getting to those white pants next summer, that's what I can do. You know what I realized? My number one alternative in order to get there is I have to be able to implement an aggressive, let's say, it's exercise program. Okay, I just, this eating thing, some of these other issues going on, it's got to be an aggressive exercise plan. Well, T says take disciplined action. What does that mean? That means that the place most people fall down, they write a to-do list, they set a goal they want to accomplish, is they don't break it down. What exactly do I have to do first? What do I have to do next? Who is there somebody I can delegate something to? What's it going to cost me? What are all of the specifics? So we say, okay, lose weight, exercise, join a gym. What does that mean? Do I have to, am I going to research gyms? Am I going to go look at gyms? Do I have the money to join a gym? When in my schedule am I going to go there? Am I going to go there with somebody? Am I going to work with a trainer? What does that disciplined action look like? Literally the critical step-by-step specific things that I have to do to be able to implement, how I'm going to do them, when I'm going to do them, and what it might cost me to do them. Once somebody gets to that point and they've got their working plan, oh my gosh, it's amazing the amount of progress somebody makes, how confident they feel, and just how much more energized they can tend to get because now I have a clear path to where I need to get to.
Oh, yeah. If you're just out there, and I've been there, we've all been there, where you're just, you know I should be doing these things, and I'm doing stuff. I'm busy. I'm working. I'm busy, but I don't know where I'm going. So, taking this time, and I loved knowing that the shift. So I just want to recap that real quick. Specify desired outcome. Highlight the obstacles and categorize them. I'm paraphrasing probably a little bit from my notes. Identify the human factor. I think we forget that's one thing we don't hear a lot of coaching on, is making sure we keep that into perspective. And, you know, that's a key point for me. Find the alternatives and then take the disciplined action step by step. Figure out what that looks like and then get our behinds in gear, right?
You're an amazing listener. You got it exactly. I couldn't have said it any better myself.
Well, this is so, so valuable. Now, Beverly, share with us and share with the listeners where they can find more information about you. And I'm going to put it in the chat here real quick so that they can get more and hear more, because I know you also have a show too. So share with us how we can find you.
Sure. The best place is probably just to come to my website, which is www.understandingotherpeople, as if it's one word, understandingotherpeople.com. And lots of good, there's blog information, information about the show, and, you know, if anybody wants to send me a note, and at some point very soon I will have the shift information actually up on the site. It's not there yet. But understandingotherpeople.com, great resource.
Awesome, and it truly is. And so here we got a sneak preview of the shift today. And thank you so much, Beverly, for joining us as our resident expert for our confidence coach and valuable information. We're all going to shift. We're going to make that shift. Well, thank you so much, and you enjoy. I hope you get to enjoy some time on the water, and I'm going to let you go now, and we'll be talking with you soon. Thank you so much.
All right. Always good to talk to you, Angie. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that was fun. Now, this is the first time we've ever done that, is having a expert guest join the show at the top of the hour, just as a way to add a little more value to the show, because there's so much information out there and there's only so much information I can give you. So why not bring in the experts and let them tell you and share themselves? And that's exactly what our next guest is going to do today, and that is Lisa Duty. Now, Lisa is phenomenal, and I talked with her a little bit at the top of the hour. And just to kind of recap where we're at in the show right now, my name is Angie Strader, and I'm the host of What's Your Bottom Line. We are on Blog Talk through Diva Toolbox Radio Network. And What's Your Bottom Line is where I tap into people who are successful or an expert in a specific area, and I get to get to their bottom line philosophy on success in their personal and professional life. And I look for a wide range of guests and topics because I can. And I was thinking, you know, there is so much information out there about social media. We're all on some sort of something, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or Dig or LinkedIn, or maybe we're doing all of them and we really have no clue what we're doing. We just know we're supposed to be doing it. Some people are better at it than others. And then you have someone like Lisa, who comes along, and not only is she a social media expert, she is a social media strategist. I love that title. I've never actually heard anyone use that title like that before. And what Lisa's going to share with us is the big question that Lisa posed to us is for the topic for her show today is, are you tired of hearing about personal branding, providing value and content, but no one is telling you how to get started and how to achieve it? Isn't that so true? So let me tell you a little bit about Lisa, and I'm going to bring you on, Lisa, here, and you get to listen to me sing your praises here. Now, Lisa Duty has worked in a variety of administrative, marketing, and management and executive support roles for 20 years. Okay, you see, Lisa, you wouldn't think she could even, like, she's barely out of high school. She's a young looking woman. So 20 years, I don't believe it, Lisa. I'll challenge you on that one. She is currently using her passion and energy and for marketing talents to assist her clients in growing their business and network via social networking websites such as Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. In addition to social media marketing, Lisa is a viral assistant, a virtual assistant providing administrative support to small business owners and consultants around the globe. And that's one of the nice things about being a virtual assistant is that you can work from where you're at and you can affect change and help others affect change from your own home office. She does from general administrative duties to creating their newsletters, website maintenance, and scheduling their webinars. For more information about Lisa, you can go to lisaduty.com. I'm going to bring that up here in just a second. And, of course, we're going to give Lisa an opportunity to share her Facebook and Twitter and her LinkedIn handles or accounts or how to get in touch with her there, because if you want to learn from Lisa, you need to get connected with Lisa, and she's going to show you exactly what to do. And welcome to the show, Lisa. How are you?
I'm doing great, Angie. Thank you very much. That was such a wonderful, long introduction. I think you outsold me a little bit there.
No, it was long. It was long, but it's, you definitely are, you know, that you have lived up to that introduction. And I did was also going to mention that Lisa is going to be one of our regular featured expert guest hosts. So just like Beverly Flaxington came in as our confidence coach, Lisa's going to be our social media expert, and she's going to have a spot. I believe, Lisa, it's the fourth Tuesday of every month?
Yes, ma'am, that is correct. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, that is fabulous, and there's so much to learn. Now, Lisa, where are you joining us from today? Where in the world are you?
Well, I am in Garland, Texas at this moment. I'm actually at one of my clients' offices using one of their back rooms.
Don't you like that? You can work from wherever, and we can have this fabulous show and share your knowledge. But so you are right here in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. For those of you who, like I said, I've had the opportunity to meet Lisa at a couple of networking events, and we were longtime Twitter followers and friends and connected on there. So it shows you can take that virtual world and make it a reality and meet people.
That is what social media is all about, Angie. It's about making those connections. I always tell everybody I love to make an online connection and take it offline. That's the best next thing.
You're absolutely right about that. Now, I know from your title that you shared that, you know, we're talking about personal branding and all of that stuff, and people just don't know really how to be effective and what they're supposed to do. So what do you say is the first step for determining your personal brand?
I think the first thing that they need to do is they need to sit down and they've got to determine what their objective is. Are they wanting to sell a product? Are they wanting to educate people? Are they wanting to grow their network? And I want to use a little example here, actually, of myself. When I started my business, lisaduty.com, obviously, it's my name. So my objective is going to be to brand my name so everybody knows who I am. So I say the first step is determine what you want to do. What do you initially need to accomplish with social media to get your brand across? Mine was branding myself, so I went out and I connected myself to people that I thought were important. I connected with, and I'm going to do a little name dropping here, I connected with Bill Herbert on Twitter because he had tons of followers, and a lot of people looked up to him, and the stuff he tweeted was really great. And so I thought, well, if I can get Bill to retweet me, people are going to listen.
Mm-hmm.
So I focused on Bill. And then LinkedIn Queen, well, everybody on Twitter and everywhere else has heard of Eve Bear Osborne, I connected with her because she is a social media person and a pro on LinkedIn. And so my objective was, okay, I'm going to get LinkedIn Queen to retweet me in her Twitter stream. I want her to retweet me because people listen to her. And so then the next thing I thought of is, okay, I need to meet and I need to know somebody that is really big into networking. That's my in-person. That's what I want to make, my in-person connections. And so I accidentally bumped into Patty Farmer on Facebook. We became friends on Facebook, and then we connected on Twitter. And next thing I know, I got my friend to give me all the introductions. So that was the first step for me in my branding strategy. So for people, I recommend that they sit down, they think about what the objective is, what is the first step to get them success. Do they have a name already? I had just started my business. My name was not established yet. Nobody really knew who Lisa Duty was except people that I knew from prior jobs. And so that was my step. And so for them, they need to sit down, they need to think about what they want to accomplish. Is it branding their name? Is it branding their product? Is it branding their business? So that is the first step. Then after they do that, they need to say, okay, do I have things in line for once I get my brand established that people are going to want to know more about me? And what I mean by that is do they have a website? A lot of times I'll have people contact me and want social media help, and I find out they don't even have a website. Mm. Well, the whole purpose in social media is to drive people to your website. That's the whole purpose. And isn't that what it's for you,
okay.
Andy,
yep.
People to connect with you?
So let's repeat that. So the whole purpose, go ahead and repeat that.
The whole purpose in using social media is to drive people to your website, to learn about you, to buy your product, to read your blog. The whole objective in using social media is to get people to your website, to want to know more about you. So they need to have a great website. So that is a very important step. So know who you are. Know why you're going to use social media. Make sure you have a website, and make sure you have a good website, not just, you know, a basic website. And I'm not saying that you have to go out and spend, you know, $5,000 on getting a website. I'm just saying make sure that when you do get a website that it presents the image that you would want to come across to people that are going to visit it. So that, for me, would be the very next step. And that's actually what I did. I went out. I connected with those three key people. I got my website going and designed and looking, you know, what I felt was the image to me that I wanted to display professional. And so I actually went with like burgundy and gray colors on my website because I wanted everybody to look at that site and go professional. And so that's the next thing I did for me. And after that, what I did is I said, okay, I've got my website. I know what my objective is. I'm going to go out and I'm going to go on to social media. And I'm going to find important people, like the names I mentioned earlier, that are related to my industry. People that think of them as, hey, when they think, you know, for example, social media, I pick LinkedIn Queen because people think LinkedIn Queen when they think social media. And so pick key people in your industry that are important, that have already branded themselves for their knowledge. And this next part is going to kind of make you laugh, Angie. I joke with everybody and I say, I found my three people and I made them my best friend. I didn't literally make him my best friend, but I made him like me. I made him know who I was. And I'm not saying by being fake. I'm saying by being real, mm-hmm. being who I am, letting them know what I stand for, letting them know how I feel, letting them know I admire them and who they are. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to want to help me. They're going to want to help me succeed. And so that is what the next step would be. Now, of course, in line with that, and your branding and all this great content and all these things that everybody's sharing, you need to make sure that your social media presence looks good and professional. So by that, you can, you know, make sure you have a nice bio, make sure you use your keywords, you know, make sure when you're putting, you know, for example, on Twitter, make sure you put your location. If you're focusing in Dallas, put Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the key things that that I think are really important. And once you've determined these, then you're going to think about, okay, how do I provide this value? What mm-hmm. is important for doing that? So from there, you're going to want to determine what kind of information people that would buy your product or your service would find interesting. Why would they want to connect with you? Why would they want to follow you? So you're going to think about that. You can even ask them. Ask people in your network. Ask people in your that are already your friends. What interests you about this industry? What things would you like to learn more about it? So I think that's really important. And, Angie, I know you've branded yourself wonderfully on Twitter and on Facebook and all of those networks, getting the word out about your shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very focused on what my message is, and also incorporating that I believe at the core of everything is our happiness and finding that way back to happiness. But through my shows is how I bring that about. But yes, it's very focused.
Exactly. And that is exactly what it's about. It's part of your strategy is knowing what you want to, you know, how you want to get there. What do you want them to know about you? That's the most important thing to get across. And I'm not saying, you know, the one thing that I hate, and I'm sure that you don't like either, Angie, is when you get a new follower on Twitter and the first thing they do is send you a direct message trying to sell you something.
You know, I agree with you, Lisa, on that. And I get those increasingly more often. And I feel like immediately I just want to unfollow that person. Because I do, I admit, and I don't know if you're going to touch on this, I do auto-follow. I use an auto-following robot or whatever to do that. But then the first thing, usually how I know that I'm following that person, unfortunately, is not when I get my report, because I get a report every day that shows me my new followers. And I get this direct message that I'm like, seriously? I mean, you know, that's not the best way to introduce yourself. That's like walking up to somebody in the supermarket and saying, hi, my name's Angie, and I want to tell you about what I'm going to sell you right now. It doesn't work.
Exactly. And I wasn't actually going to touch on autofollow, but I will say that I actually use an autofollow also. And I even actually do the big no-no when I send an automated DM back. But I'm honest in my automated DM, because that's the big thing for me is honesty, being who I am. And it actually says in my DM, it says, hey, thanks for the follow. Yes, in case you were curious, this is automated, but I look forward to seeing you online live. And so they know right away, and it's also a great conversation starter, because they're like, oh, how do I get an automated DM? But it is, you know, doing the sales thing, and that's not what I'm saying when I tell people get a strategy and that kind of thing. Don't do that. That is the biggest way to turn people off on social networks. I'm even getting them on Facebook now. Well, they'll send me messages, and they'll just be like a sales pitch. And I'm like, okay, unfriend? You know, what do we do at this point? I mean, sometimes I will unfriend them. It depends how many times that I get the same message. But unfriend them, unfollowing them, sometimes it does happen. So it's very important with your personal branding strategy that you keep in mind that you are not turning your customers off.
Mm-hmm.
You want to turn them on. You want them to get them listening to you. You want them to tune into you for more. You want them to go out on Twitter or Facebook or wherever and go to your wall and look at your profile and see what you have to say, because they think, wow, every time this person says something, I've got to know more about it. So that's the next thing in your strategy, okay, is making sure that you're giving good information, quality. And that's where we go into talking about value more. Once you've found out from your friends, your connections, that kind of thing, what they're interested in knowing about your industry, and of course, these are connections you've already had, and so they might not know a whole lot about your industry if they're from your friends and immediate family. You need to maybe go out of the realm a little bit and try to seek new connections and ask them what interests them. Make those new relationships, establish them, ask them what they would like to hear about. You need to share tips about whatever your service is or what your value is. Make those tips focused so they would attract your ideal client.
Mm-hmm.
Share information that would help your client make important decisions. For example, I'm in social media, so I am constantly sharing social media articles about branding. And actually, branding is what triggered you know, the title of this conversation, because everybody's always talking about branding, but nobody wants to share how to do it. And that's why I wanted to come on here today and help people learn more about their branding strategy and kind of help them define what to do. Now, we've talked about value a little bit. Go ahead, Angie. What were you going to say?
I was going to say on branding, I think that there may be some people that may understand and may be a little bit vague on what that means for personal brand. The way that I try and help people understand is that when you think of a brand, let's use two examples. Let's think of Coca-Cola or Pepsi. Two very similar products, if they were people, they would be similar, but they're two
Correct.
Totally different brands. You have your Coke drinker, that Coke brand that's very steeped in tradition, a little bit more traditional and a little bit, you know, there's a lot of history with that. Where when you think of Pepsi, for me, at least I'm using these as my analogy, I think of Pepsi as that new generation, a little bit more hip. Their marketing is a little bit more on the edge. Coke is very centered on warm, fuzzy, family, traditional values. Pepsi is about let's go out and skateboard and rollerblade and let's have more fun. So they're two brands, very similar, where the point being is that if you're out in the Twitter world or out in the social media world and you're trying to promote your brand, and Lisa, and you could jump in and support this, is that can be very similar to what someone else is doing. There's other social media experts and strategists, or I've never heard of strategists. But you differentiate yourself. You're Lisa Duty as a brand, and you are separate, different, unique, and that's what you get your message out of your brand, correct?
You're absolutely right, Angie. The whole way to do it is, you know, defining what your value is and what your goals are and what you want to contribute based on whatever industry that you are in, and getting that across. I do work really hard to convey the fun, but yet wanting to be here and share information with people image. And the reason I do that is my brand is I want people to think, you know what, I'm going to ask Lisa Duty. She says all the time on Twitter, ask me a question. And that's kind of, you know, the brand that I've done. And so I think when somebody's going out and writing their strategy, they do have to decide, okay, do I want to be traditional? And, you know, really to catch attention on social media, you can go with traditional, but I really think that you need to be a little more, you know, and I can't, I'm not getting the right word here, but you need to be a little more trendy, edgy out mm-hmm. there. And I don't mean by that by sharing crazy, bold statements, but just willing to put yourself out, to share who you are. I tell one of my clients all the time that you need to let people relate to you on a personal level. And what I mean by that isn't, you know, sharing that you're doing your laundry, okay, or, you know, that's not what I mean. What I mean by that is, you know, sharing, you know, your thoughts, like I always like to tell, like when I got this show, the first thing I went out and did is like, ah, excited, I'm going to be on the Angie Stratter show. I'm sharing an emotion, and because I'm sharing that and that I'm excited about something instead of being real traditional and just, I'm going to be on the Angie Stratter show, because I'm sharing that, everybody wants to tell their friends, wow, Lisa Duty's going to be on the Angie Stratter show. That's really exciting because that I'm putting a piece of myself into that. I'm letting them know who I am, how I feel. They're relating to me on a different level. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. And don't be afraid to let your true, authentic self shine through. Absolutely. I think that's very key.
Oh, it is completely key. Now, with that being said, I hope that your true, authentic self is not a salesperson that doesn't want to really connect with people.
Then you're going to have a rough road.
You're not going to be successful on social media if that's your mission. So if you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm just going to go out and send everybody a direct message that says, hey, buy my product, well, you need to revamp your strategy because it does not work on social media because it's about growing relationships. It's about connecting with people, providing that value that people want to look at. And that's why I keep saying, you know, find out what kind of information you want people to know about you and your product. Find a way to share that information. Maybe that is through little tips that you give to people. You know, I like to write, I joke around and I say everybody can tell when I've seen a Twitter faux pas because right away I write a Twitter tip about how to not to do that.
Don't be that person.
I don't do it in an ugly way. I'll just be like, quit tip. Hey, did you know blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
and
that's
so
good.
Notice those kind of things. Share that information because people don't always know those things. And that's why I like to, when I write a little tip when I see one, is so I can tell them, hey, did you know blah, 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 happens this way. You know, I mean, that's just the way to do it. And, you know, the big thing that, another big way that you can provide who you are and value and get people interested in you is blogging. And so I'm going to move into what I really think is the next important topic. Everybody wants to, you know, everybody says you got to blog. And I'm telling you, you do need to blog. It's really important. It's a very important piece of social media. Again, earlier I said the whole purpose in using social media is to drive people to your website to learn about you, your products, and your services. Now, the way you're going to get them to your website is through your blog. That's how you're going to get them there. You're going to write a blog post. You're going to share about something about your industry. Maybe you're going to share an experience you had or success story within your industry. You're going to put that on your blog, and then you're going to go out to Twitter and Facebook and all those places, and you're going to tell everybody that you wrote a blog post, and here's the link. And then they're going to go to the blog, and they're going to read what you wrote, and they're going to relate to you.
Let me ask you a question about blogging, Lisa. How often do you think people should blog? Was there a magic formula, or what do you suggest on, if you're going to start a blog, what do you suggest on frequency and length, and do you have some just rule of thumb ideas?
Well, this is what I recommend to my clients. This is what I would like for them to do. It's not always that happens. Do a blog post at least one time per week. Between 3 and 1,200 words is the industry average. I say 800 words, and that's what I try to keep my blog post to. One blog post a week, 800 words. Make sure it's something that people want to read, if you have some links, link to other places, if you have some resources that you can share with them so that they can find additional information on whatever the topic is, do that. It's a great way to also get backlinks when you do that. Now, the ideal thing, of course, is to blog every day, because then when you're on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn, et cetera, you're going to be driving people to your blog every day and getting people to learn more about you. But that is not always feasible. So I say make it your goal to blog at least once a week. And, you know, you can always get guest bloggers. That's a great way for people to get blogs more active on their website. Maybe they blog once a week, and once a week they have a guest blogger on a topic that's related to that industry. It's, you know, maybe a strategic partner.
Okay, I love that. Yeah, guest bloggers is key. And I want to, real quick here, Lisa, we have a question that came in from Flygirl. And
okay.
Flygirl, I think you're on too. You can see, she said, what is the best link to blog on? Do you...
And I'm wondering if she's meaning there, for example, you know, Blogger, Blogspot, those kind of things.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking that's what she's referring to, and I would say, Flygirl, that actually the best thing to do, because you're wanting to drive all the traffic to your website, because after they read your blog post, you want them to go, wow, that's a really interesting blog post. I need to read this person's bio. See where they're coming from. What's their background? So you want them on your website. You don't want them on one of those other free websites. I mean, WordPress even has a free blogging platform that you can use. You want that blog post, the blog, to reside on your website. So when they're looking at the home and the about and whatever, right there it says blog. And it's on your website, and that's where you're driving people. Those other platforms, I would say if you were going to use a third-party platform because you don't have a website, I would probably say that WordPress is the best one to use.
Okay, good. And she said yes. That's what the point she had. Okay, thank you, Flygirl. I appreciate that. So, Lisa, we're talking about blogging, and we're talking about so about 800 words. And if you can, I love that's so important is citing resources and links. And can you explain? You said backlinks, real quick. Can you explain what that means?
Well, a lot of times if you link to other big blogging companies, you know, like if you link to Mashable and those kind of things, it'll help get you some backlinks to your site. Another way to do that is, depending on what kind of blog post you write and what your content's about, because I write about social media, a lot of times they'll get picked up and excerpted on other blogging sites just automatically because they're mm-hmm. searching for topic and they find me and link me on there. So that's an important way to get those links to back to your blog to get more people reading about you and then going to your site to get the rest of it. There was something I wanted to say, you know, along with this whole content, sharing content, it's not just about blogging, okay? It's about reading blogs also and sharing that kind of content. So it's not just about the whole blogging piece of it. It's actually about finding blog posts that are interested to your readers and so that they can learn more about you by seeing what you were interested in. And I actually have a couple of ideas I wanted to share on that, Angie. Are you familiar with Google Reader?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I am.
Do you use Google Reader?
I do. It helps me keep organized.
I love Google Reader. There's tons of RSS readers out there, everyone. They're free. Google Reader is my preference. I have about, I can't even tell you, 40, 50 blogs on there I follow.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm constantly finding content that I can go share to Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, that kind of thing, that is interesting to people that are connected with me. In addition to finding that content to share, it also inspires me for other blog posts. You know, if I wasn't if I wasn't reading all these thinking another blog post about branding, great. It doesn't have any tips for anybody. If I wasn't reading that, I wouldn't have gotten inspired for this topic. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it really is an inspiration tool also.
That's so key. You do really, and I think that what that brings up the point is that if you are going to be the expert, if that's your brand, if you have picked what your strategy is and you're going to put yourself out there as the expert or the authority in that area, you really need to stay on top of current trends, what other people are saying, what's going on. And Google Reader is one way to do that and one easy source to bring it all together. And that's very, very valuable.
It is. And I actually wrote down a couple of sites that I wanted to tell your listeners about that, that might help them. Besides Google Reader, which is really great, alltop.com has a lot of great blog posts and information on there. And actually, one of my, I had written a blog post based on this conversation today about are you tired of reading blog post after blog post? And one of the comments that I received was from Vicki, and she said that using she loves to use Alltop because it has a page where you can actually do some customization similar to Google Reader. So for somebody that doesn't want to use Google Reader, Alltop might be a source for them to actually find blog posts that would relate to their industry, but also they could set up a page where they could read similar to Google Reader. Another blog that I really like to recommend to people for the women is shetakesontheworld.com. And I don't know, are you familiar with that blog, Angie?
No, but I love, love, love the title. So shetakesontheworld.com, okay?
Yes, shetakesontheworld.com. It's by Natalie McNeil. It's her blog post, and she actually does have guest bloggers on there, and then she does a lot of blogging herself, and sometimes she'll have some video interviews that she does with successful women entrepreneurs on there. I actually guest blogged on there. It was really exciting. She's one of those people that later on down the line in my strategy that I was like, I got to connect with her on Twitter. Mm. And so I ended up getting to blog on her website, and it was really exciting. And she has a ton of different blogs. She's actually a writer for Forbes.com blog occasionally. And wow. So it's really a great blog to follow. I recommend it to all the women. She covers all sorts of different topics. SheTakesOnTheWorld.com.
Gotcha.
Forbes has tons of different kind of little excerpt blogs that they have going on behind the scenes where you can go to Forbes.com and then read the different ones that they have going. And Fast Company has a really good blog also. I mean, nowadays, all the big magazines, it seems like they're all doing blogging. So you can just pretty much type in, you know, Forbes.com and you'll find their website, but you're also going to find their blog. So I recommend to everybody that they go out and look at those, that they have some magazines that maybe they've read in the past in print that they enjoyed, or, you know, just a great way to find content that they can share with their readers.
That's true. I'm typing in some things. I put in alltop.com and shetakesontheworld. Is it? Okay,
it's actually
yeah.
shetakesontheworld.com.net instead of
yeah.
.net.
Yeah, I got okay. It's not
.net. I was going to I was going to add, Angie, that I wanted to add on here that now I forgot my thoughts.
I'm sorry. You know what? I type in .com and it brings up .net, but it's still creating.
Oh, does it? Okay.
Yep.
I didn't know.
Okay.
It must be a redirect.
Yeah, it is a redirect. I just wanted to make sure because I wanted to make – but this is beautiful. I can see here's one of the topics. Is your shopping style getting you the best professional? Nice. Okay.
Yes.
So, yes, go to that. And Alltop was the other question, alltop.com.
Yes, that is correct. That is correct. One of the other things that I wanted to add on here about content, and I'm trying to find it here. I just completely lost my thought. Can you believe that? Oh, I wanted to tell everybody that if they want to learn how to set up a Google Reader, that they can go out and do a search on how to set up a Google Reader, actually on Google or Yahoo or anywhere. And there's a website, eHow, and I don't know the domain name, but it has a ton of videos on how to use Google Reader.
Oh, good.
A bunch of different steps, so they could do that to find out how to set up a Google Reader if they want to start using a reader.
Yeah, and how to do it effectively and organize
exactly.
it. You're getting what you want. And those are the keys. I mean, there's so many tools and resources out there that finding out how to use them effectively and then narrowing down the ones that really, it's like you talked about before, focusing your strategy. Focus on what it is, streamline the process. Lisa, can I tell you one thing I just found lately that's been so valuable to me? And as I'm a constant contact user for my my newsletters, they have a new service called Nutshell. Have you heard of it yet?
I've heard of Nutshell Mail, yes, ma'am.
I love it. I love it. I'm just going to put that out there because it helps me organize everything into one email or it comes to me every 4 hours. And so I'm able to bring everything together at once and see what's going on that's most important. You can customize it so I can see what Lisa Duty's up to and what she's putting out there, and I know exactly where to go when she's posting links on Twitter and so forth. So I just wanted to throw that out there. If you're using Constant Contact, Nutshell Mail has been valuable for me.
there's so many great tools that are just out there, and that's the whole reason I was so glad you're going to have me on your show every month, Angie, so that I can just share about a new little tool with people so that they can make their social media presence easier for them, because it can be overwhelming, and it's all about just taking it a piece at a time and getting it under control.
So, Lisa, let me ask you on strategy, for strategy purposes, when you see people out there who have maybe, I'll give you my error of my ways in the very beginning, is that I wasn't creating the Angie Strader brand. I wasn't comfortable with Angie Strader as a brand, as a person. I was hiding behind this More Happy thing that I was doing, that I'm still doing, The World Needs More Happy. But then I had my Angie Strader Facebook, More Happy Twitter, and then LinkedIn, you know, everything got fragmented. Do you have any suggestions on how to keep your brand very streamlined? Obviously, now my Twitter's Angie Strader, my Facebook's Angie Strader, my fan page Angie Strader Inc. What do you suggest if somebody has a creative name? Should they stick with that on everything, or what do you suggest?
I think, well, for me, I'm just like you. I'm Lisa Duty, straight across the board on everything. I do joke around. I have an alter ego on Twitter. I'm also On Duty VA, and that's a play on words on my last name and the fact I'm a virtual assistant. But it is very, you know, you do have to keep that. You do want to keep that going, because a lot of times I think that, you know, people actually go to Facebook and they'll actually do like facebook.com/ in a person's name, because they're used to that's how most people do it. And so I think you have to determine what your brand is, and I think you do need to keep it consistent. Now, when you have a fan page on Facebook, I think it's okay to use your business name on there, and let that be more about what you do versus who you are, just on your fan page. And what I mean by that is like your custom URL that you're going to get. But you still need to pass along the image using Facebook and all of those that identify who you are and share about what you are and get that important message across, because it is important that you are the same on all the platforms. You don't want to be this crazy, wild, you know, person on Facebook and then being this real structured one on Twitter, because they're going to be like, who is this person? I don't know this person. Facebook is more personal, but you still need to let that fun come across on Twitter, not just on Facebook. That way everybody wants to connect with you on all the places and get the real you.
Absolutely. So now that brings up on your, yeah, in your strategy, do you find that if someone's new to social media and they're really, they want to get started, they're not really, you know, they're just at that point of, okay, I understand, I've got my website now, got my product, I'm ready to open my virtual doors or what have you, I'm ready to open the door and get going. Do you suggest they start with Facebook? Do you suggest Twitter, LinkedIn? How do they decide which is the best social media entry area for them?
Again, I think it all goes back to what their product is, and who they are. I had somebody that, you know, for example, if I meet with a woman who sells jewelry, okay, well, obviously, when people are on LinkedIn, yes, there's professionals on there that would like to buy her jewelry, a lot of successful women. But are they going to be on LinkedIn looking to buy jewelry? They're going to be on Facebook. Or they're going to be on Twitter establishing those relationships. So it comes back to looking at their product and the determining which one they think works best for them. I use Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. But because of who I am and what I do, all the platforms work for me. I wouldn't necessarily recommend a jewelry designer go onto LinkedIn and then try to sell everybody jewelry. Now, I would recommend she grow some connections on LinkedIn, because she can make some great professional relationships, but just be a little more different in the strategy. I tell everybody when they decide they're going to start a new platform, if they're going to learn it on their own, they need to start with one, because it can get way too overwhelming to try to take them all on at one time. That's the biggest key. You know, I'll talk with people and they'll be like, well, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, and I'm on LinkedIn. And they'll have 5 LinkedIn connections and 10 friends on Facebook, and they have 3 people following them on Twitter. And I'm like, well, that's because you're spread all over the place. Learn really good how to use Twitter, okay? Learn how to use it. Establish your connections. Get you, you know, a couple of hundred of people following you. then ask those couple hundred people to go connect with you on Facebook or on LinkedIn. That way you've already got a little start when you move into the next platform, and you've got people that you already know. They've already developed a relationship with you. They're already trusting you in one area.
Mm-hmm. So Fly Girl asks, isn't Facebook more for friends than business?
Well, Facebook is more personal. Moving more and more, though, that everybody is using Facebook for business also. It really is. And you do have to be very strategic when you're doing that on Facebook, or you can get your account shut down. But a lot of people, you know, and I actually use List Angie. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but I have, you know, I have four lists on my Facebook, and every time I accept a new friend, I sign them to a list. I have a list for family. I have a list for professional. I have a list for connections. I've made it a certain business where I used to work. And then I have a list for my other friends. That's my joke. That's my high school friends. They're other friends. I don't want them mixing with my professional necessarily, you know, the high school crazy days. But, you know, it is it's just all about prioritizing what you want and what your vision is. You can definitely use Facebook for business. Again, don't be salesy when you're doing it. It's all about sharing great information, and you can share articles all day long on your personal Facebook profile about your industry.
Let me say something on lists real quick. This is my personal like endorsement to what Lisa said. When you do lists, start early. Start now. You can't start soon enough to start organizing your list. Every single time you add a friend, they need to go into a list somewhere. There's value in that later on down the road, and you're not like me who has to go back and sort out and put everyone in a list. So do it now. Do it early.
Yes.
There you go.
Definitely. Do it to start with. And if you don't know how to do a list, you can go out to Google, I'm sure, and figure it out. And if you can't, you could always hire a social media professional like me to teach
Absolutely.
You how to do it. I actually teach people how to – that's one of the first things I teach people is how to sign all their contacts to list. And I noticed on the chat room you can set up a business page and have friends join your page. I noticed somebody's – yes, definitely you want to have a business page also. But in order to grow your business page, it's really hard to do that without growing your friends first. Because it's hard to get people there.
You grow your friends list, invite them to your fan page. And eventually, to me, what I'm seeing is my fan page has people that aren't on my friend page that are finding me from suggestions from my friends. And
exactly.
So you'll start to see that. And you can refer people, too, in a nice way that if they want to become your friend, but you're starting to really build that fan page or that community page or whatever they're calling it these days, that you can gently refer them over to that page and have that connection over on that other page.
Definitely.
Lisa, we're starting to close in on time here. We have 2 minutes left, and I wanted to tap into your bottom line, to your success. If you could narrow it down to one thing, what would you say is your bottom line to success as a social media strategist?
For me, it's being who I am and being real. It really is. I've just been honest, and I'm out there, and I don't have any, you know, the perfect example is you called me a social media expert earlier in the call. I don't actually consider myself an expert, Angie. I consider myself a person learning just like everybody else. It just happens to be that it comes natural to me. And so for me, I think it's just being myself, getting that across, and the people I meet and letting them know that they can come to me and learn from me and ask questions, and they don't need to feel intimidated or anything else.
And I agree that you are genuine and authentic from meeting you in person. Absolutely, Lisa is. Now, Lisa, give us your lisaduty.com, and that is also Lisa Duty for Facebook and Lisa Duty for Twitter. And what is your other one for your VA?
It's On Duty VA. That's O-N-D-U-T-Y-V-A. And I want to make sure that everybody knows that Lisa is actually with two S's.
Yeah.
That's LISSADUTY, and I'm that way on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter.
Absolutely, and you have to. What Lisa was saying is that she went out and she found Bill Herbert, Lisa Osborne, Patty Farmer. She found these people. You need to make sure you connect with Lisa. Learn from Lisa. Now, Lisa is going to be our fourth Tuesday of the month, our social media strategist. She'll have her 10-minute spot at the beginning of each fourth Tuesday, sharing her expertise with us. Lisa, thank you so much for sharing us not only the value of social media, but what is the strategy behind it. That is so important. And everyone, please go to lisaduty.com. Follow her on Twitter, Facebook. You will learn a ton. And plus, she's super sweet, and it's just an inspiring. She's uplifting. So that's it for this week, everyone. I've got to go. We will connect next Tuesday at 2. Go to AngieStrader.com for more information. Thank you, and have a fabulous week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to What's Your Bottom Line with Angie Strader. If you would like Angie to answer one of your questions on the show, or if you'd like to discuss your question live with Angie, visit AngieStrader.com and click on the Ask Angie tab. See you again next week here at What's Your Bottom Line.